Connect Up, State's Health Link on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, this year, National Public Health Week is April 2nd through the 8th. And joining me this morning as part of our continuing series, Public Health Today, to tell us all about it and its goals are Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and Siobhan Airy, a graduate student in the Master's of Public Health program at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today. Yeah, nice to see you. So tell us, what's the concept behind National Public Health Week?
Well, if we think about it, many of the greatest changes for making us healthy have been through public health, although people don't realize it. Clean air, clean water are two of the things that come to mind, immunizations. And so this is an opportunity to really focus the public on what public health is and what it can do and how they can really look at prevention and public health as part of their lives.
And it seems to me that In many of these areas, and I know we're going to talk about two areas today, one being active living and healthy eating, and another being the importance of kind of mental health. In all of those areas, sometimes really small things that you do can make a big change. I think isn't that the kind of emphasis that they're making?
Yes, and sometimes people think, if you take, for example, losing weight, that they take the big picture and I have 40 pounds to lose. But they don't look at the simple things they could do in changing their diet or simple ways that they can exercise that may actually help them. And those small steps will lead to that big change.
Yeah, it's kind of starting small and thinking big, kind of. I had no idea that these facts that recently were always touting these facts about obesity, but I guess more than two-thirds of the adult population of the United States is overweight or obese.
Yes.
I mean, that's frightening.
And almost 20% of children.
I mean, where do you go? I mean, you have to start somewhere. You have to start making changes. And that physical inactivity is a primary contributor to at least one-third of the population being overweight or obese, so that, you know, clearly there's that whole issue of lack of activity. So obviously we want to have people more active and doing, you know, and eating well. So where do you begin and what's happening in terms in honor of Public Health Week? What are we doing
here? The Department of Public Health and Preventive Medicine is doing a couple of things. I'll talk about it from what we're doing inside the institution and what might be available to the public and then what some of our students are doing for children.
Yeah, Siobhan, I hope you'll help us tell us what's going on with the students.
So what we're doing here is that working with the cafeteria, they're going to be developing healthy options and highlighting healthy options for people to purchase at a discount price to show what a healthy plate is for lunch. We're going to be having talks throughout the week that are open to the public. So one will be about kind of incorporating exercise into your life, simple tools for healthy living. Yoga as part of healthy living will be another one. And then One Life, Two Choices, which may deal with the emotional health that we're also stressing, but choosing to be at peace or choosing to be stressed. So many of us are stressed, but what can we do to really help us ourselves be more at peace?
So you're really offering, these are all opportunities for the public to get involved and to actually...
Yes, there'll be noontime lectures and we'll be advertising those.
That's great. And I think also we'll probably put a link on our website to where you can get more information about that going forward. So what are the students doing with the... with these initiatives?
So out in the community, we decided that we'd like to provide a health carnival for children. So in cooperation with the Mary Nelson Center, we're going to hold a health carnival on April 3rd. And we're going to have different booths that stress different aspects of healthy living. Three of our main categories we're focusing on are smoking prevention, healthy eating, and physical activity for the children at the after-school program there.
It's interesting. That's great that you guys are getting out there and doing that kind of thing. And obviously, you know, directing it to maybe a community that isn't as apt to be involved in some of those things. So that's wonderful. But, I mean, some of the things that people can do that are really easy are just to remember that if you eat more fruits and vegetables, perhaps, and healthier snacks, that alone will make a big difference.
Right, and that's some of the information we're going to try and get out. I'm also going to be doing a talk at OASIS that Wednesday night, so to the public about healthy eating, so and giving them giving people information. So I think there's a number of ways that we're trying to get the public engaged in some of these smaller steps that they can do that will lead to those big changes they want.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes something as simple as advocating walking up, you know, to instead of taking the elevator at work,
walking a few flights every day. And if it's hard in the beginning, you can start small, walk one flight, and then build up. Those kinds of things people maybe don't even think about.
Right.
So I think that's crucial. Well, in the mental health arena, I mean, I had no idea, but I was reading some statistics that more than 34,000 Americans die every year as a result of suicide. That's like one suicide every 15 minutes. I mean, that's frightening. And I guess one in five young people experience a mental, emotional, or behavioral disorder at some point in their lives. So what are some of the things that, again, from a public health standpoint, people can do to both recognize and help intervene when there are mental and emotional problems?
Well, I think giving tips to people on recognizing, you know, when they're more than just sad about something, but when it lasts a little bit longer, where they can seek help. So we'll be providing information that. I think two of our lectures really talk about becoming more mindful and how you can do simple things, even sitting at your desk, to de-stress yourselves. Deep breathing techniques, yoga is you can do simple yoga moves at your desk to help yourself become more flexible, but also become more mindful. And then, you know, really looking at how you can maybe remove some of the things in your life that make you stressful. Simple things like turning the lights down low an hour before you go to bed, turning off the television. Those things simply help you get ready so you sleep better. You know, lack of sleep is also a big contributor to some of these emotional problems.
And also, I guess, obesity. It's funny because I think that there's almost a cycle of that goes on, that sometimes if you're overweight, you might have sleep problems, therefore. But I understand that also if you don't sleep well, there's a tendency for weight gain. What are some of the, you mentioned also the students are doing some things with regard to the mental health arena.
Yeah, on campus, we've decided to kind of go at mental health by offering a stress-free students day.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So we're looking at bringing in free chair massages for the students and really encouraging them to go to the different lectures that will help them learn how to do stress reduction, and partnering with the counseling center here on campus to make sure students know what services are available to them if they are feeling stressed or they're worried about their mental health.
Are there services currently, I'm just curious, in terms of your program, are there services for your students right now if they find that they're, maybe they just can't handle the kind of...
I know Upstate does offer services to all students. They have the ability to make either one-time appointments or ongoing appointments with a counseling center. And having worked with them personally, I think they're great.
Yeah.
Actually, there's an employee assistance program and a student assistance program, both of which, if people are stressed or are going through a time in their life that's difficult and they need to speak to somebody, it's available to them, and it's kept confidential, so no one has to know.
But I think your point was really well taken, which is this whole notion of starting small and thinking big or making big changes, is that something as simple as being aware of your own emotions or the level of stress that you're experiencing at any given point in time is the first step. And if you can develop, as you call it, mindfulness or awareness of how you're feeling and the level of stress you may be feeling, it's then you can make very simple changes, like breathing deeply perhaps. Or,
and I think that's what people don't realize. People, you'll sometimes, and I've done it myself, where, you know, something happens and you'll get all worked up about it. And sometimes if you just step back and just take some deep breaths, it clears your mind. You can then refocus and say, you know, do I really need to be this worked up about this? Or what can I do to relieve this stress? Is there something that I can do instead of just continuing to get worked up and maybe doing something you don't really want to do? Or then it affects your heart rate, it may affect your blood pressure. And if you're constantly stressed long-term, it's going to affect your long-term health. So learning some of those simple ways to de-stress yourself now will prevent you from having problems in the future.
It's very interesting, too, that in a way, both those areas, whether it be active living and healthy eating, really do intervene very much so with the mental part of it. I mean, it's, you know, you are what you eat, your mind and body work together. So those things really do, both those areas are areas that we need to address and make positive changes in.
And I think we can reiterate it again. You know, people a lot of times really think that they have to dive in and make these huge changes. to see an effect. And really something simple like, as you said, taking one set of stairs and seeing how that feels and doing that. And maybe, you know, then you take two sets a few weeks later because you're feeling a little better. Or instead of, you know, when you're parking lot, you know, parking in a parking lot, park a little further away so you have to walk in. Make an extra round around the mall if you're in the mall instead of just going to the store that you're at. When you're looking at choices, choose a fruit or a vegetable instead of a French fries, you know, and maybe not every day, but just making a simple choice one day and seeing how that helps. Eventually, if you incorporate those small changes, you will start seeing big changes.
It's amazing how positive habits can build. I mean, if you start small, you know, if you don't, like you said, if you don't overload yourself with this idea that it's a mountain you have to climb, you have to lose 40 pounds or you have to run a marathon, but you do it slowly.
Right.
And in achievable, you know, bits, then,
right.
then it makes it much more readily available. Well, I think this is a wonderful initiative. Are there other things going on during the week that you'd like to tell us about, or is there anything more that that your program is doing?
Well, besides those things for the public, you know, we are going to have a big display prominently available related to these themes and what people can do. We'll have information and pamphlets available. As I said, the cafeteria really every day is going to be doing something different. They're going to have a meatless Monday, a gluten-free day, a low-salt day, and they'll have food people can sample to try and, you know, see what does it taste like. You know, does it really taste that different? You know, yes, I really can make something that's low-salt and taste pretty good. Or if I have to be gluten-free, here are some options that are available for me.
So this is going on nationwide, is that right?
Yes.
I mean, so there, every institution or every organization that wants to participate is coming up with their own initiative?
That's right. The American Public Health Association just sets the framework, you know, that these are the themes that we want to do. The institutions pick what themes they want to do and pick how they want to promote this. But We're going to be internalizing this and making this an annual event. So we will be picking different themes and educating people on annual event. And hopefully through that, educating people as to where they can also go to find more information about what they want to do.
More and more resources. And from a student perspective, what do you hope to accomplish in this?
Well, I think one of the most important things is awareness and getting it out there to people who may not have the same access to the education that we do, and making sure we're sharing that not only with the community outside of Upstate, but with the Upstate community as well, as far as other students in other colleges, so the College of Medicine, College of Nursing.
What's your experience as a student? Do you think that in general your group is conscious of these kinds of things, or do you think that you have a lot of, you know, issues with active living and mental health issues in your population?
I mean, I definitely think that the student population, especially the public health students, try and be very health conscious, and it's easy to do once we're in classes getting the education and becoming more aware. And again, you know, for us too, seeing that little changes make, you know, eventually add up to big changes, and keeping that in mind as we go through our days.
Yeah. Well, it's very hopeful, and I appreciate that you're coming in and sharing all this great information with us. Once again, it's a wonderful initiative, and you're being trained to go out there and do this kind of work. So that's great that Upstate is offering that. Well, my guests have been Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate Medical University, and Siobhan Airy, a graduate student in the Masters of Public Health program right here at Upstate Medical University. Thank you both so much for coming in. We're looking forward to this program. And as I said, we'll have some link to on our website as to how people can get more information. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after this short break.